thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm very humble and I'm very thankful because you guys are so gracious and good. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, not preaching, but sharing to the choir, because I know that you guys are more equipped than I am. And so it's going to be learning together. And this retreat theme is Let Us Consider. It is from the Hebrews 10, 24 to 26. As Christine was sharing and Wanda share about the contentment, let us consider contentment. So in order to consider, to have contentment, we have to understand who we are in Christ. And Christine speak on that would let us consider, and she expand more on that. But this evening, we're going to consider, let us consider together how to cultivate a biblical, Christ-centered, kindred spirit friendship. And what that really means, and we're gonna consider that together. And relationships can be so sticky, tricky, complex, challenging, especially if you have been hurt by them. You know, then it's natural to just put up a wall and be so fearful to even develop any more relationship. And then before you know it, you in isolation, you know, you withdraw from the body of Christ or from your so-called friend, whatever that may be. However, if you have been blessed with a biblical kindred spirit friendship, you know it's a beautiful gift designed by our Heavenly Father for all good and for His glory. You see, friendship is very important because God didn't make us to be alone. And we learned that from Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Even though that was in context for Adam and Eve, he's for mankind. He desires us to have a companionship. You look in the Old Testament, the word friendship and companionship and neighbor, they use the same Hebrew word. But when you go into the New Testament, phileo is used more. So companionship and friendship is used interchangeably to relate to an intimate relationship. And we're going to see and consider how we can also strive for those quality or characteristic of a biblical friendship and what that looked like. And that's probably what God intended for us. Like, He doesn't want us to be alone. He created a church, a body of Christ for us, right? That's why it's hard to be alone. We crave for more than just be by ourselves. And I remember when I went to UCLA, I was so lonely and desperate for a friend that I prayed, "Lord, bring a friend." And this is my embarrassing moment. That I went and pray about in tears and then sat alone at the dining room, and then this guy show up. And I was like crying and say, "Thank you for being the answer to God's prayer." But all of us have that desire to share life with someone more than just a superficial acquaintance. And God made us for that, especially in the body of Christ. However, friendship is tricky, like I said, right? It's so hard to navigate all that. And friendships can either help us grow or lead us astray. Proverbs 13:20 say, "One who walks with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." And then 1 Corinthians 15:33 say, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And there's like a proverbs, a worldly proverb that said, "Tell me your friend and I will tell you who you are." You know, you can tell a lot by who has influenced you. So it's so important, just as much as we trying to know what lies we believe in, we also need to know who we are surrounded by and who are our friends. God created friendship, and we praise Him for that, right? That's a gift from God. All good things come from Him. And He is our first genuine friend, our greatest companion. He is the ultimate example of what friendship should be like. Jesus is that example. And we see Him in the way that He sacrificed on the cross for our sin. He is an image for us to follow. He is the model for us to follow. So let us consider what God has to say about biblical, Christ-centered, kindred spirit friendship from the Bible. And I'm just going to pray again, and then we're going to begin, dig in. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I just pray, Lord, that you will use me, and this is, I know that you will be with me, Lord, and just help me, Lord, to speak clearly. Give me the word to say and help me to rely on you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to learn this together and to consider this together, Father, as the body of Christ, as sister in Christ, that we can grow and desire what you have created for us in a biblical, Christ-centered, kindred spirit friendship, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to start with a worldview of friendship. You know, in today's society, you have like tons of friends, millions of friends. I mean, if you have like social media, you have a lot of followers, or you have tons of friends on Facebook. So friendship in the world viewed or in today is kind of diluted. People don't know what it means to have a friend anymore. It's more acquaintance. So there's like level of friendship, but the world, if we don't examine it, we mistake acquaintance for true friendship. There's acquaintance and there is like different level, right? Loyalty and then affection. And when we see the friendship in Christ, we see all of that. We see the value, the loyalty, the faithfulness, the sacrificial, the selfless. We see all that in Christ. And that leads to the affection and that connection of intimacy. That's what the world doesn't have. It's so diluted. It's usually bound by interest, you know, play tennis, I don't know, social media, political value, jobs, clubs, proximity. In the Old Testament, neighbors and friends are used interchangeably because proximity was important. And in today, too, you don't want to have like your best friend live in across the world because then you don't share life. So proximity is important. But today's world view of friendship is superficial and shallow. And the digital world doesn't help it. You know, we think that will bring us together to the people, but actually do the opposite. It make an illusion that we have so many friends and but yet we lack that love and that connection and that deep relationship that God intent for us to have with one another. It is self-focused. It's usually, what can I get out from this relationship instead of like outward focus? In a biblical relationship, you see that you want to live out Christ. In the world, we're like, what is it in it for me? And as soon as it's not satisfying my need or my human gratification, I'm going to leave. And that's the world. It lack any true connection. And perhaps there are some friendships that last, you know, in the world, and that's great. It doesn't mean that you can't have sweet relationship with non-believer, but I'm just saying that today's view of friendship is very low and it has less value than what God has designed it to be. And in the world, they might have everything, but sadly, it's still a world relationship because it's not rooted in Christ. It is after human gratification instead of Christ's glorification. It limits the depth and the affection that we can have in a biblical relationship. I'm going to go into and talk about the characteristics on your line outline. You have that. Before I go into that, let us remember that this is not possible unless we have a right relationship with God. And Cassine said that, right? Who are we in Christ? Are we saved? Only through Christ can we consider this biblical relationship. Because apart from Christ, we are nothing. And he is the one that set the standard of friendship. And he's the one that will empower us to pursue it. It is only through his strength, grace, and mercy that we can pursue a biblical friendship. Christ-centered friendship is essential not only for our good, but for his own glorification. Christ-centered friendship is vital to help us live out our calling as Christian, to live out the one another, to live out our Christian walk, because we need each other to keep each other accountable and to grow together. God designed this, and he will help us grow closer to him. So I want to start out with the basis, right? So what is this basic? There can be no true friendship unless those who cling to each other are wedded together by you in that love which is spread throughout our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. That's a quote from Augustine, right? It has to be rooted in Christ. That's a vertical relationship that I want us to consider. Without that vertical relationship to God, that's a foundation of our faith. We have nothing. Without Christ, we have nothing. We can't love because we are dead in our sin, our trespasses. 1 John 4:19 say, we love because he first loved us. And then John 15, 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father I've made known to you. God has made this possible. Jesus made this possible when he died for us and redeemed us with his blood. If we don't have that relationship, if we're not saved, this is not possible. This consider, let us consider, is for Christian. And if you're not saved, then you don't have the Spirit to convict you and to help you desire these things that God has planned. That's the first requirement, right? Is our relationship with God. Psalm 119 even say, I am a companion to those who fear you and those who keep your precept. Do we fear God? Do we have that relationship with God, that reverent for God? How is your relationship with God? It is important to examine our heart, as Cassine has already said earlier, to see where we are with him. We are all sinners. You know, we are dead in our trespasses, incapable of doing anything good. And so we have to first consider our relationship with Christ. And if you have any doubt about your relationship or your walk with Jesus, feel free to talk to Castine, Liz, Wanda, Angie, or myself afterward, because it is important that you are saved. That is the deepest desire that Jesus, God, has for you, is to know him as your Lord and Savior. So once you are saved, this is now you can live out with one another, and that's a horizontal relationship. And I always say, told my kids, you know that triangle, right? If you are getting a better view of God and closer to God, as guess what? You are also closer to one another. So have a good relationship, the vertical relationship, the horizontal will be closer as well. And that will allow you the ability to love one another, because Christ has done on the cross for you, allow you and give you the ability to do that. So that's on the horizontal relationship. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6 say, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belonged to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Isn't that amazing that we have unity and we are bonded by Christ, that in this now, because we are saved and we have a right relationship with God, we can have ability to love one another and be united in the unity of Christ in each and every one of us, right? And there's no jealousy, because we all have a purpose for this. And it's amazing, because we all can know that God given us as a family, and we have one hope, like we belong to him, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I just love that unity, that oneness. And we are united, bonded in Christ. There's this spiritual, deep commonality because of what Christ has done on the cross. And this is a two-way street, right, between one another. And there's sometimes we are given more, and there's other times that we'll be receiving more. So we're not going to be there and calculative, I'm giving more or like I'm receiving more. There's season for everything. And that's the beauty of horizontal relationship in Christ, that we look to him and to allow us to pursue that horizontally to one another as Christian, right? It is intentional. We have to make time for one another. Jesus didn't just preach the gospel. He actually spent time eating, walking, praying, and sharing life with his disciple and his friends. It is about letting down our guard down, being transparent with one another, and sharing life together, be intentional and affectionate way. Friendship can be very hard, like I said, but it is a beautiful gift from God. And it's mean dying to ourselves so that we can see the good in our brother and sister. Let us look at some of the characteristics now. So these are some that I have considered, these characteristics. And feel free, if the Holy Spirit lead you to see something else more important or convict you, jot that down. You know, these are not the only characteristics that is important. You know, there are others, and don't be limited to these. So feel free to jot down whatever. So So like I said, is we have to be wise who we let go in our life, right? Because our heart are tender and our heart are sensitive and we don't want to get hurt. So choose your friends wisely. And with that, it's like sometimes to live one another, that's fellowshipping. But to actually cultivate that relationship close, that's intentional, more intentional than just fellowshipping with one another and living out one another on Sunday. This is like searching out, having that alone time with somebody and really intentional pursuing that relationship. We see most of this characteristic from 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 4. This is an example of David. So on the other point, it's an example of David. I'm going to read that right now, and then you can jot down what you see. So 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 4 say, as soon as he has finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt, right? We see the example of that in Jesus Christ when he laid down his life. And now we see an example of Jonathan-David friendship. And I love their friendship. It's just a perfect example because we can relate to connecting them in a way, right? So the characteristics, the foundation of all this characteristic has to be rooted in love for Christ and our love for one another. And love is one of the most important characteristics that is a foundation for that. So Proverbs 17:17 say, a friend loves at all time. They say all time, in the bad time and a good time. And a brother is born for adversity. Please remember that friendship is a two-way street. So these are not only qualities that you look in a friend, because it's easy to look for those people like, oh, who qualify? But it's actually what we should look in us to grow in order to be that friend, you know? Examine our heart, say, how can I be that friend? And because it's easy to point out and look for those friends, oh, you don't qualify. But it's important that we desire those qualities for ourselves so that we can be that friend. Romans 12:10, I'll say, love one another with brotherly affection. So this high level of friendship is affectionate. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo it. Go the extra mile. I love that word. And 1 Samuel 18:1, so this is in context, this is a story of, you know, Jonathan and David, right? So we know that David has been anointed, and then we know that Jonathan is Saul's son, and Jonathan is next in line to be king, right? According to the worldly progression. However, God had chosen David to be the next king. So knitted together. I love that, right? They are like instantly loving each other. And the knitting together is so cool to me. Like this show somehow knitted together, tied together, and that unity and that spirit. And I also love how the Bible also used kindred spirit, right? Someone who share the same love for Christ. So they are like-minded. They share the same value, same goal. They see eye to eye. Someone who understand and get you. But so knitted, like that's a beautiful way to describe the relationship. And the first quality is, I kind of categorize them. So selfless, sacrificial, and love, I kind of like put that together in a group. It's putting someone else's interests above your own. Someone's welfare is more important than yours. Rejoicing in the gift that God is blessing them and desiring to see them succeed. Is given of your own right in order to love your friend more. These are built on humility and love. So you see, if you continue to read on 1 Samuel 18:4, it said, he took off his robe and gave it to David, right? He wasn't jealous of David. And most of the time, we are jealous, right? He has every right to be jealous. But he looked after the He knew what God has anointed, that God has anointed David, and he liked to submit to the Lord. That submission first to God, but he also looked out for the best interest of his friend David. And that's so beautiful. Jonathan, he didn't think about himself. He was in full submission to God. He wasn't worried about his fame, position, and power. There's no jealousy. He's truly loving God and truly loving David. Jonathan could have seen David as a threat to his kingship, like his father did. Like Saul was scared and wanting to kill David so that he can be secure in his kingship, but not Jonathan. Jonathan risked everything, even taking off his robe and giving it to David, and that's like a good symbolism of his saying, you know, you can have this kingship because God has given it to you, and that's a beautiful submission to the Lord. And are we submitting to God, you know, in our obedience to love one another? Let us consider this attribute and desire God's plan for our friend and rejoice with them. We see the perfect example in Christ, don't we? When we see Philippians 1-5. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Just like Jonathan gave up his kingship, Jesus is a perfect example of that sacrificial and selfless love by emptying himself and dying on the cross to become our friend through his new covenant for us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God himself came to die for us. He gave up everything to save us. And we see that in David, and Jonathan's relationship is sacrificial, is selfless, is full of love. It's that kindred spirit. I love that word. And you can only find that in NASB translation. I guess in other versions, they don't use the word kindred spirit. So Philippians 2:20-21, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who would genuinely be concerned for my welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. This is Paul writing to mention Timothy as his kindred spirit. He has that fatherly affection with that relationship with Timothy. And we can have that with one another, the kindred spirit, because we're all bound by Christ. We are safe from one God, one spirit, one baptism, right? One hope. So we are united with God. Sacrificial. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down his life for his friend. And that's God laying down his life for us. Jonathan, and we see that in the example of David and Jonathan's friendship, Jonathan risked his life to save David from Saul. He's willing to go that extra mile to be a faithful friend and a loving friend. Would we willing to go that extra mile without grumbling? I mean, no one's asking us to die, but are we even willing to just meet the needs and be that person's friend? You know, going to grocery for them, it's out of the way, or just something simple even, you know? Are we willing to do it? Sometimes we don't. So examine our heart, you know? And then the third point is faithful, loyal, and covenantal. Covenantal is unbreakable promise between two or groups, right? Jonathan was imitating God's covenant for us when he made that covenant with David. A faithful friend will always stick by you in all circumstances, especially in this challenging time. And it's tricky, right? Because today, friendship, sometimes I feel like, yeah, you know, like how in college, I don't know, you guys do DTR, like determined relationship. If you're dating somebody, like between the two opposite gender, we do DTR at my youth group. And I think like it might be good to even do TR for a friendship, like that genuinely wanting to be a friend, because sometimes it's like it's a two-way, but you don't know if the person feels the same way, you know? It's like, hey, are you that friend that willing to be my friend? It's awkward, because it's not natural. That's probably not what how God designed it. But sometimes it's good to clarify the relationship so that you have that mutual understanding that this is deeper than just fellowshipping with one another and being one another, because we are to love one another. But we can't possibly love everybody in the same intimate way. And God wants us to have that special friend and to have that special affection and to share life with. So Hebrews 13:5 say, make sure that your character is freed from love of money, being content with what you have. But at the verse I really want to emphasize is the second part. I will never desert you, nor will I abandon you. That's the covenant God made for us. That's the promise. You know, Jonathan and David make that covenant together. Whatever circumstances, David or Jonathan, I will not leave you. I'll be there for you. I will even sacrifice my life for you. This relationship was important for David and Jonathan, and they make that commitment for each other. And we too can imitate that relationship and make a commitment with that special friend that we have, that understanding. You know, I'll get your back and you can get mine. And this is the relationship that has to be intentional. It's directional, and that's the next point. It is intentional, Christ-driven. It is rooted in Christ. The goal is to grow together in Christ. It points us to Christ, help us grow closer together to God. That's why the world relationship will eventually not going to meet your deepest need, because your deepest need is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even in my immediate family, they're not saved, and I have such a close relationship with my mom, but there's that lack. I cannot pray with her. I cannot share Christ with her. So that intimacy, there's a void there, you know? No matter how close I am with my mom, that will always be hard. Proverbs 27:5-6 say, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. True friend will be honest with you, will correct you in love instead of giving you flattery. It's easy to compliment. I mean, we all like affirmation. This is not what I meant. I meant flatteries, lies, that just to appease to you. A true friend will be honest and transparent with you and will point your sin out in a loving way, because this is driven by love. Confrontation and corrections are never easy. So if your friend is able to do that with you, count that as a blessing. Because it's never easy to confront someone or to correct somebody. It's intimidating because we don't want to lose that relationship. It's a fear. So when they do it in love, count that as a fresh and a blessing, because that's a sign of a good friend. We often take an easy route because we don't want to face the awkwardness. But true friend will love you enough to point you to Christ by being honest with you. Be ready to give and also to receive correction and rebuke. Proverbs 19:20 say, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. And God wants us to have wisdom from him. So a friend that point you to Christ, be honest with you and speak to you in truth, like Ephesians 4:15 say, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in him who is the head, into Christ. We are to grow into Christ, speak truth in love to one another. Truth is important. It's directionally driven. It's intentional. And that direction is for us to grow closer in our relationship with Jesus. And in that direction, right, we have to be ready to forgive and to be forgiven. Always seek for reconciliation. Don't hold grudges, right? If possible, overlook the offense. It does not mean that you can ignore their sin, because that flatteries, right? And that's not being honest. But to actively letting go of offense and not being resentful, but choosing to display grace and mercy that we have received from Christ. Ephesians 4:32 say, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. All that we have been forgiven, who are we not to forgive our brother and sister, right? And then Colossians 3:13 say, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Must is a strong command there. Mm-hmm. bearing with one another, right? Not just the physical bearing, that's wonderful, but also the spiritual bearing. Are we encouraging each other, edifying each other, pointing that person to Christ intentionally and purposefully? And I love the example of Jonathan and David. So I don't want to read you like the whole chapter, but go home and read it from like chapter 18 to like 21. It's a beautiful 1 Samuel 18 to 21. That's so wonderful. And 1 Samuel 21 said, when David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my guilt? What is my sin before my father that he seek my life? And it's like the first thing he said is like he examined himself, his heart. He wanted to know what he had done wrong. Are we eager to know from our true friend what we have done wrong so we can grow and be sanctified? And that's amazing, right? We see David being so humble and so eager to know so that he can grow holier because he's desired to be more Christ-like, be like God, like the image of God. So we can say that biblical friendship is a covenant between one or more people that is rooted in Christ for the good of one another and for God's glory. Why do we need friendship, and what benefits of Christ-centered biblical friendship? What are the benefits of that? I group them together because the reason why we need friendship is also the benefits, right? That's why we need friendship. Is first, to display of Christ. A biblical friendship will help us magnify Christ together. And that's the purpose. We want Christ to be glorified. We want him to be exalted, right? As we consider out these characteristics that we talk about, his selfless love, his sacrificial love is intentionally driven because we want them to know Christ, faithful, loyal, all of that. Those are characteristic and covenantal, right? And then accountability and discipleship. You know, our elder has encouraged us, are we known by one or two women, right? And why do we need that? Because that biblical relationship will allow us to have accountability and discipleship. It's easy to be invisible. It's easy to be isolated, but that's the danger of it. That's scary, you know? When you isolate, Satan will attack you more. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes harder to develop deeper relationship because it becomes superficial. We only talk about surface thing because we're not having time to invest and be intentional to go deeper level. But Christ's biblical relationship, you have to desire to go deeper. And it's not possible if you don't have that, if you don't open up yourself to be accountable to somebody or to disciple each other to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's hard to be vulnerable or transparent, but a biblical friendship will give us that intimacy and sharing a life in a way that will be so rewarding when it's done right. So one of the benefits is accountability, right? You are known to them and they know you, so they can help you stay on the path that God's gift to you and to point you back to Christ. We need one another, as we see, to identify sin for protection, right? Help us spiritually as we give and receive wise counsel. And in Hebrews again, right, 3:12-14, take care, my brother and sister, that there will not be in any one of you an evil believing heart that fall away from the living God, but encourage one another every day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partaker of Christ if we keep the beginning of a commitment firm until the end. It's easy to drift, as we learn in Hebrew. If we don't fix our eyes on Christ, we can easily drift, just as we can easily believe in the lies of the world if we don't replace them with truth. And you don't have that friend to speak truth and share truth with you and keep you accountable for what you might be tempted to do, then you're going to be isolated, and isolation is dangerous. As the Bible said in Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolate himself, keep his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. Because you don't have anyone to bounce back to, You don't have anyone to keep you accountable. So you're going to be deceived. You're going to be thinking that you are the wisest person, right? You think your decision is right because you have no desire to be humble. You have no desire to be corrected. You have no desire what God has placed in for your protection with friends. We are all better moms and wives if we have that special friend to help us go through life, you know. Comfort and edification. A biblical friendship will put a desire in our heart to encourage, build up, rejoice with one another. Therefore, encourage, 1 Thessalonians 5:15 say, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you also are doing, right? We ought to encourage, to build up, and that's part of the benefit of having a good, true friend. And then spiritual growth, like we all mentioned, we are to grow in Christ. Iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27:17 say, right? So one sharpens another. We need each other to sharpen each other, to point each other, to help each other. And we all have different gifts. So it's like when we are being discipled by one or two friends, we see everybody's gift differently and we benefit from that. My weakness will be your strength or your strength will be my weakness and we help each other grow and vice versa. And that's why it's important to have not just one, but maybe two, if possible, right? Helping hands. It's better to do life together, right? Don't you agree? I mean, we all desire that friendship. There's benefit and blessing. Someone to help you through the hard time and rejoice with you in the good time. A biblical friend will stick by you. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 say, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who fall when there is not another to lift him up, right? If you don't have someone share that, you don't have someone with you. And if we are married, we are already blessed with that relationship with our spouse, Lord willing, right? That covenant that our spouse and us have. But this is, I'm emphasizing more of like a relationship with another female because this is help us to even be better, to be better mom or be better wife or to just be a better sister in Christ to one another. So although we feel like, okay, the one another is great, but don't feel guilty to have one or two special friends. You know, sometimes in a church this small, we feel like, am I isolating other people because I have a special friend? I think God also desires to have that special friend. So don't have that guilt, you know, that it's okay to have a special friend because they are the one to sharpen you, to share life with you, and to bear with you. Another example is, you know, we say Jonathan and David, and I was like, oh, those are just male example. I want a female example. So I go to Ruth and Naomi, and I was like, wow, what a good relationship, especially a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law relationship. And just a display of what a loyal, faithful, and sacrificial, God-fearing love they have for each other, especially Ruth to Naomi. I mean, if you know the story, right? Ruth and Naomi, and like it was during this time where there are judges and no king yet, right, in Israel, and there's a severe famine, and Naomi and her family moved to Moab, and Ruth married one of Naomi's sons. Well, they died. The son died. Well, she lost others, two sons, and they're both dead, and her husband dead, and now Naomi is going to move back to Judah, to Israel, and Ruth stuck by her mother-in-law. What a faithful, loyal friendship she has, commitment she has, because she feared the God of Israel, and it's during this challenging time that you know who your true friend is. Naomi gets to see that Ruth is her true friend, not just a daughter-in-law who stuck with her, but her true friend, who is loyal, faithful, and sacrificial. Ruth could have easily say, you know, I'm going to go home and be with my mom and dad. Naturally, we all say, okay, I'm free. I'll be there. But she knew the purpose, and she desired to submit to God. And she willingly let go of everything. She has a choice. I mean, in Ruth, Naomi say, go, you know. But Ruth say, no, I'm going to go. Where you go, I'll go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death separate me from you. What a commitment, What a love, right? During this trial time, she didn't just bow out. Naomi lost everything, and the other daughter-in-law left. So Ruth saw the need, and also because of her love for the God of Israel at that time, right? So she is committed to submit to God's plan. She is submitted to honor her mother-in-law, that sweet relationship. So we saw the characteristic, the benefit, why we need friends. The standard seems so high, right? But so are the blessings that come out from it. The one who made friendship will empower us to achieve it. He gave us the Spirit, the Helper, to help us. We need a friend, but we also need to be that friend. So it's easy to look at these characteristics and quality and be overwhelmed by them because the standard is high. But these are things that we can consider to cultivate. It doesn't have happen magically overnight. It's a lifelong process. It's part of our sanctification to desire what is good in the eye of the Lord, right? We need a friend, but we need to be that friend. It is a two-way street. It is essential and beneficial to our soul. So you might be a doer at one point, and at another point, you're the receiver. Things to consider. Who do you want to be your friend? Choose it wisely, because our heart are sensitive, are vulnerable, and we want to let the right people into our heart. But don't be fearful also, because it's hard to, when you're fearful, you will be in the temptation to be withdrawn and to isolate, which is the danger, and give opportunity for Satan to attack you. Are you ready to be this friend? It seemed overwhelming. I agreed. It's hard. But we all should consider to pursue it. Consider how you can build that relationship in a tangible way. You know, just go to your sister and say hi and invite them over or suggest to do something together. Share a life, do a Bible study, whatever that may be. Just look up one thing and pursue it one step at a time. And then you find like, oh, this is really great. Not only we love Christ, but this common interest that will enhance that relationship, you know. And you can, don't be awkward to go from one sister to the next sister to see who you are compatible with. It's okay, you know. God doesn't make us to be friend with everybody. We ought to love one another, but that special relationship is what this is talking about. And you can't possibly, it's amazing, but it's not possible. Maybe it is for some of you, but this is the relationship that is more intimate in that way. Consider how you can grow to be that friend for God's glory and for your good. Consider your own heart. Repent of your own sin that might hinder your qualification to be a biblical friend. Consider the hindrance or the obstacle in the way or the opportunity or the advantages that God has given you. And some of the hindrances, maybe, are you jealous of your sister in Christ? You know, if we are really united by one body, one spirit, one hope, one baptism, you know, one love, then we have to remember that we don't have to be jealous because everything is done for God, for Christ. It's for His kingdom, His will. We are just an instrument to fulfill if He used us for that purpose. So when He used their gifts more, praise the Lord for that. Rejoice in that. Mm-hmm. Are you easily offended? Because that might be a hindrance, right? Are you tend to be withdrawn and isolation? Because that's another hindrance. People don't really get to know you if you're isolating yourself and you don't open up. It's part of being vulnerable and being real with one another. So consider all these things that we talk about. It's a little bit hard, but first, we have a good example from Jesus Christ, and we have other godly friendship example through Jonathan and David, and Naomi and Ruth. I know we have a lot to say, but friendship is not possible without Christ, because it will lack the depth and the permanence and the blessing that God designed it to be. Let us consider how to cultivate and desire that biblical Christ-centered kindred spirit friendship, mm-hmm. companionship. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, because you are our friend. You call us and redeem us. We praise you, Lord, for what you have done on the cross. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our friend and be the example of what true friendship looks like. Father, the standard seems high, but you call us to be holy and to pursue holiness. So we pray, Lord, that as we fix our eyes on you, as we grow in our relationship with you, that you will grow us in this characteristic and to desire to be that true friend for our sisters, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us with this friendship, Father. And Father, though it is a gift from you, we pray, Lord, that we should not make this into an idol of our heart, mm-hmm. to desire it so much that we become an idol of our heart, Father. Mm-hmm. So though it is a blessing, help us to remember that to have the right relationship with you and all things will flow. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I emphasize so much that we want biblical friendship, right? But the purpose of this is to consider, right? Because it's possible through Christ. And let's not make it into idolatry. And I was just convicted through this whole thing because, like, oh, I really desire this friendship. And and that's what started me to wanting to talk about this, because when I first came to Grace, I felt so alone and I wanted friendship that I used to have, but I move and it's hard to maintain those relationships. But let's not make friendship the idolatry of our heart. And I was just convicted during my devotion, just Bible read through and seeing Rachel and say, "Get me children or I will die. And I was like, oh, give me friendship or I will die. Place whatever it is that you would die for. Because Leo would be like, give me the love of my husband or I'll die. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have an idolatry somewhere. Mm-hmm. Though we're trying to encourage you to build that relationship, it's also important to recognize that it is a gift from the Lord. And it will come as you cultivate, as you build, as you willing, mm-hmm. and don't make it an idol of your heart. Mm-hmm. And again, I just want Cassine to talk about this, and it's so good. So I just encourage that you guys go read it. But she read a little part of that I was going to read. And so I'm just going to read the second part. Additionally, with the gospel proving itself to be such a boom in my own life, I realized that the greatest gift I can give to my fellow Christian is the gospel itself. Indeed, I love my fellow Christian not simply because of the gospel, but I love them best when I'm loving them with the gospel. And that's been so convicting to me. Is, yeah, we love people because of the gospel, but now try to love them with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And you will see the fruit that will come out from that, even richer when you live that out. And again, it's like friendship is so affectionate, and he talked about that a little bit in here too. This affection for them come from loaded, it's just for God's glorification. So you are knitted together. It's a gift, mm-hmm. and a blessing.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Kylie. Thank you, Kylie. Yeah, and they all tie together, don't they? Contentment, yeah. That we are content in Christ, and then that we are his, bought with a price. And so are our friendships. So that's something to hold like this. Hold on to Christ and hold the friendships loosely.
Right.
I love how you said, rooted in Christ, we grow. We're transparent, but we're driven by love and always pointing to Christ. And that's what a biblical friendship is. It's rooted in Christ, good for each other, beneficial, but for God's glory ultimately.
Right.
So it's always pointing up to our Savior.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really
thank you.
Appreciate you sharing.